You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled Shut Your Mouth, God's Wisdom and Our Words, is the sixth message in the series Respect the Beard and is taught by Mike Cranford. For more information, visit woodbridgechurch.org.
And so I've asked my brother Mike to come up and give a message today. So would you welcome Mike Cranford as he's going to speak to us on wisdom of words.
Have you ever had a slip of the tongue? Have you ever tried to say one thing and said something different, maybe said the opposite of what you're trying to say? Like you're looking at some lady's haircut, maybe your wife's, and she says, "What do you think about my hair?" And instead of saying, "You look awesome," you say, "You look awful, awesome." I meant awesome, right? And you can't get that back. Once it's out there, there's nothing you can do. It's amazing the power that lies in words. I was talking to a friend of mine. We just had dinner a couple weeks ago. He's reflecting back on the ministry of his life over the last 20 years. He has this amazing ministry with young people. And as he's talking about his ministry and how the Lord's blessed him, he shared with me the biggest discouragement of his life is that the person that is in authority over his ministry has never recognized him in any way over the years. Never affirmed him. And what he does out of service to the Lord, Jesus. But disappointing to him that this person has never encouraged him in any way. Said anything about what he's done. His investment in people's lives. And to hear something like that would have this, I could tell just speaking to him, a healing and uplifting effect on my friend's life. But for whatever reason, he's never gotten it. Many people, many of us, have gone through life holding on to something that's been said to us at some point. Maybe it was by a parent. Maybe it was by someone who was supposed to love us. Something that questions whether we're valuable or not. Maybe you were told you were stupid. Maybe you were told you weren't worth anything, you're good for nothing, or something like that, or worse. And maybe those words have stayed with you in your life. Words can change us. They can bring us down, make us lose hope, and they can lift us up. The right words can lift us up and bring healing to our lives, fill us with joy, remind us that our lives can really mean something. The right words. There's power in the words we speak. We live in a culture, this world that we live in, you know, speech is really unguarded in our culture. People just say whatever. Things pop into their minds, people say it. Profanity, it's part of everyday speech. Depends who you're interacting with. I don't hear it around the church, but you know, out in the secular world and out in the marketplace, I hear all kinds of things. We hear sexuality talked about in popular culture in ways that dishonor us. I mean, it's really amazing. I'll hear men talk about women in ways that are dishonoring. And then we look out and we wonder why there's so much sexual promiscuity in the world. But we talk about it so casually. And it didn't used to be this way. It used to be different. When I have to explain to my kids that there are things that people can say to them that they should not receive from those people, that it's not right. It's not okay for people to speak to you and refer to you in certain kinds of ways, devaluing ways. But in the movies, see, that's how people talk to each other. Our celebrities, people speak to each other in horrible ways, using terms for men and women that are terrible, and they're taught to accept this in our culture. Now in this world, you can't control what you get from people. Just what it is. But we control what we do with our words, the things that we say. And if our words lift people up, we can choose that or bring them down. If we're going to bring healing to people's lives through the things we say, if we're going to just thrash them, that's our choice. If we're going to speak the truth, or we're going to distort the truth in some way to do something that we feel is going to help ourselves. We're going to speak kindly to people. We're going to be screaming at people. This is the choice we can make. And the big surprise is Christians, as we come to Scripture and look at this topic, is that our words are connected to our destiny. Who we are and how we speak are connected. That's what we find out from God's word. That behind our words is a motivating power that controls our lives for good or evil. That's the teaching of Scripture. And if we just let our mouths run on and on, Scripture tells us you can ruin your life by the things that you say. And we can allow ourselves to be drawn away from the amazing blessings that God has for us just because of how we talk. So in this world of profanity and lewd sexual speech and destructive criticism and gossip, the Lord challenges us to something greater with our words. And it's not as simple as biting your tongue, right? Though that saved me a few times from saying something really foolish, just kind of grabbing it back. But what I need is wisdom, and that's what you need too. So that's our series. So Frank already introduced it, but we're doing a series on wisdom literature, and we started covering some general ideas in wisdom and life, and now we're in some topics in practical wisdom, and we've covered wisdom and sexuality, we've covered wisdom and friendships, we've covered wisdom and money, and today we're talking about wisdom and the words that we use. And age, it gives us the chance to acquire wisdom, and one of the reasons that a lot of us that have some gray in our hair have acquired wisdom is by making mistakes. And so that's part of what I'm going to share with you today. But the Lord speaks wisdom into our lives so that we will become the people that we are supposed to be. That's why we need to grab out and get His wisdom. And the first thing that we want to talk about on this topic is the idea that our words, what you say, matters to God. It matters. We live in a culture of noise. I mean, everybody's talking. Now you got the internet, so anybody can say anything that they want, and it can be heard by any number of people out there. You have these YouTubers. You know, I'm not really in touch with this, but my kids tell me about these YouTubers. Now they have these vast audiences. They're just everyday people, and they can just say anything they want on these channels. It's completely, almost virtually uncensored out there. And do you know Snapchat? Do you know the social media Snapchat? You communicate messages to people, and then after a certain period of time, after they read them, the messages disappear, and there's no trace of them anymore. It's very much like our culture. Just a massive communication that means nothing. That's our culture. But for a reason that's very important that we're going to look at in Scripture, what you say matters to God and doesn't disappear. Your words are recorded and last. That's the message of Scripture. Okay, so let's look at some of Jesus' words here in Matthew 12, and I'll set the context here for you. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. Okay, so this is what's happening. He's out teaching. And the Pharisees are there, and they're telling him that he's empowered. The power that he has, that his healing, the power that he has is from Satan. That's what they're accusing him of verbally. So these are the words that cause him to say this. Words that are going to be remembered on the day of judgment. But his point here is general. So it's made out for all of us. That what comes out of you, what comes from your lips, is what is stored up inside of you. That's what he's saying. It matters. And that one day everyone, he says, will have to give an account for every empty word they have spoken. All our words are remembered on that day. An empty word is a useless word. It's a word you could have kept to yourself. That's what Jesus is talking about. And some of those words, we're going to talk about some of them, but some of them are words that we say to people in anger because they hurt us. And it's one of the hardest things is to keep words in your mouth from coming out is when someone's hurt you. Because we think we're going to make them pay for the pain they've caused us. We think we're going to get justice by our words. We're going to fix them. I'm going to fix you because of what you did wrong. By telling you, you're the one who messed up. Because isn't that what you want to tell someone? Hey, it's not me, it's you. You messed up. So we just feel like we got to tell them. That's what I think when I'm hurt. We tell them off. Because they need to know that, right? You know, at that moment, don't you feel like that? They need to know when they hurt us. That's how it feels when you have pain or frustration with someone. I've been hurt by some people, and I've hurt some people in my life by my words. And I've let some people have an earful in my life. And I can tell you, those were empty words, and I wish I could get every one of them back. But once it's out there, you can't do it. It's out. So we damage people with our words because they hurt us. But instead, we could be like Jesus, who was mocked and beaten, but from his lips, no reproach came for the people who hurt him. And in fact, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Words of love and forgiveness. These could be our words. And this is what God wants for you and for me. Here Peter's writing in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me read this. A man who learned from the words of Jesus Christ and the example of Jesus Christ. He writes, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech." See, Peter's quoting wisdom here. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And when we use our words to hurt people, we use our words to lie, the Lord turns his face away, because that's not him. It's that simple. If we want his face to be on us, we have to speak words of love and truth. There's no justification for speaking otherwise. It's just the ways we let empty words come from our mouth. The way I have in my life. But we have another option. We have an option modeled for us. We can choose to remain silent like Jesus did and speak in love. Now, we like to think that words don't matter in our culture. There's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, Snapchat, once you realize the mentality, especially young people today, think that words are not important. And we live in a culture that generally tries to separate who we are from the things that we do in life. Okay, so you are this person, but you can just go out and do anything you want. And there's no connection. And see, if you believe that, then you have no guilt, right? I feel good about myself as a person and just live any way I want. And that's kind of our culture. And they say, you know, you're doing great. You know, you're doing great. You get to exercise your freedom. You know, you're a good person. Even if you live selfishly, even if you hurt people, even if you're living in sin, I mean, how dare somebody tell me I'm wrong? Okay, that's our culture. How dare they? And we think we can say anything we want. And maybe we think that as Christians, I can say anything I want, but, you know, I can still praise and worship God with the same lips that thrash people, that lie. That we think there's no problem in lying in one context, praising God in another context, that it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter what we think about that. What does God think about that? That's what matters. And James writes about it in James chapter 1, verse 26. This is what James writes. He says, "Those who consider themselves religious..." And he's speaking to the congregation of people and the church in Jerusalem of this time. "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." That's what God thinks about how we use our tongue. So what we need is wisdom to know when we should open our mouths and when we should keep our mouths closed, so that the words from our lips are not empty, but have value for eternity. So that day, when they're all remembered, they're words of love and righteousness. We find plenty of wisdom in Scripture to help us to learn how we should speak. The universal advice that God gives us is that we think before we say something. That's his advice. Guard our words. Guard our tongue. You're going to find this all over the Bible. Guard your words. Guard your tongue. Guarding meaning hold it a prisoner. I mean, make it hard for the words to get out. Because once they're out there, you can't get them back. You can have a thought in your head, but if it's not a good thought, keep it in. That's the teaching of Scripture. The teaching of Scripture is that what you say can damage your life. It's not just what makes God unhappy. It's actually the practical results of not speaking correctly in your life. That's part of the teaching of Scripture. Here's some verses on this in Proverbs. Proverbs 10:19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Proverbs 11:12. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. Proverbs 17. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Proverbs 21, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. And then Proverbs 29:20, do you see someone who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for them. We use our words in ways that are self-destructive. This is what God's wisdom is for us. It's to help us in our lives. This is the first way that we do it. We talk too quickly. Hasty words hurt others and cost us relationships. Now, I mentioned this already, but everybody has crazy thoughts. Everybody has thoughts that come into our minds. Sometimes we're mad. Angry thoughts come into our mind. Things that we want to say. Quick responses to situations. Maybe it's a bad word comes into your head. Something. Everybody has things. In our culture, you know, we encourage people to express themselves. And there's the whole freedom of speech, and we think, and we confuse what that's really all about with this, you know, desire to just let our mouths go. And we think that freedom of speech means we don't have any accountability for the things that we say. But the wisdom of Scripture is restraint in your words. And the reason is, at least here, is that you can hurt your life with your words. You can, with hasty words, end relationships with people. I've seen this happen many times. We can get fired from our jobs if we say the right things. We can create long-term problems with the people we care about the most in life. Things that will stay with them for years, we can do it. We wound our kids with our words. When we hurt others with our words, we hurt ourselves. It's the opposite of love. The Bible's teaching us that whatever damage we do to people, we damage our own souls. My oldest daughter, I was just talking to her about a month ago about this. She's unhappy with the school she's going to. I guess there's some website, and all the kids at her school post on this site, and they all know about it, so they're all reading the same content. But it gives a forum for kids to post about other kids anonymously. So kids just thrash each other, and they're all reading it. And she is looking at the site, and there's stuff posted about her. I mean, she's just a sweet girl, but there's someone there who's posting, and she knows who it is. And she doesn't want to go to school. She doesn't want to be part of it. The relationship with the friendship is over with these people. This is the world we live in, wiped out by cruel words. We find ourselves in a culture where we can not only use our words to hurt people, but we can do it through anonymity. And we feel like because there's a shield of like this electronic transmission, that we can just say anything we want. People protect themselves, though. So if you harm someone with your words, you know, you may never have the same chance in their lives than if you speak wisely. I know a woman who had a father who spoke critically to her when she was young. And this man, for whatever reason, he had this strategy that the world is harsh, and so the best way to prepare his daughter for it is to be hard on her. This was this man's strategy about raising his daughter. It's his only child. So he damaged her with his criticism. And now she's in her 40s and she's scarred by it. And I was there at a dinner, it was a very rare dinner, because she just can't be around him. And as I'm sitting there, I can't but help notice how much he loves her. But the man has no idea how to bring healing through words. So I'm sitting there, and she won't let herself be vulnerable with him any longer. He can't have a relationship with his daughter. Our words cost us the love that the Lord wants for us in our lives. But we have another option. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, Lord, speak wisdom to this man. That he's got to figure this out for the sake of his daughter. But we're all in need of that wisdom, every one of us, because we all do this. The Lord's wisdom is to help you avoid mistakes that can hurt you and separate you from people. Second thing is ways that are self-destructive is lying words. Lying words break trust and lead to ruin. Satan is the father of lies, and he's in control of a world that makes lying attractive. That's his world. We're tempted by what a lie can do for us in this world. Lying, it can keep you out of trouble a lot of times. It can keep you from facing consequences for mistakes you've made in your life. It can be a shortcut to something you want in life. And maybe you even mentally justify it because you think, I should have this certain result in my life, but it's unfair, I can't get there. But if I just lie, I can get there. So the end justifies the means, because it's all for God anyway, right? You know, I know God wants me to have this thing, so it doesn't matter how I get there. This is what we start thinking. But these rationales are Satan's deception in our lives to draw us away from God's goodness and his blessing, which comes through speaking the truth in love. So here's some verses about lying words. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Here's David's advice. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. And then last, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So it seems like lying can help us, and it may for a moment until the truth comes out. And it usually does. The Lord has his way, and then things fall apart. Have you ever had a lie exposed? Do you know what happens? You lose credibility. And someone who's wise, who catches you in a lie, will conclude that you can't be trusted anymore, depending on the magnitude of your lie, and may extrapolate to the conclusion that you will tell more lies to hide even more things or to distort more truth to cover up things that you were discovered in. I had a man who taught me about this my whole life. It was my dad. And my dad was an interesting guy. He would never tell you his advice. That wasn't my dad. It didn't matter what had happened going on in your life. He would never tell me how to live my life. But what he did is he told me stories. And as a kid, I'd hear these stories and I'm like, why is he telling me this story? And then I figure out he's telling me a story because there's something he wants me to get from the story. There's a takeaway from the story. And some of the stories I heard from my dad, it was about his life and his grandfather. His grandfather raised him out on a ranch. And he had all these stories. And some of the stories I heard over and over and over again, and then some stories just occasionally. And I always hypothesized that the reason I heard so many stories and my other brothers less is because I was screwing up so much and needed so much advice. But one of the stories that he told me that hung with me over the years was a story when he was in World War II and he was a cadet. And he was assigned to a loading dock for some trucks that were coming in, and they were short-handed of people. And he was assigned to this as a duty. And he was on this loading dock, and he had the measles. So he wasn't feeling well, but he had to be there because they needed people. He knew that. So he's out on this loading dock, and there hadn't been a truck come in a while, he told me. And he's not feeling good. So he's thinking, I'm going to go lay down in my bunk for a minute. And he says, I'm thinking I'm going to feel a lot better. So he goes and lays down on his bunk, and he falls asleep. And he sleeps for a couple hours, then he wakes up. He says, I felt a lot better. And then he went back out on the loading dock, you know, and it was empty. There was nobody there. And so he, you know, finishes out his duty. And then the next day, the commanding officer of that unit calls him into his office. And he says, he walks in and the guy says, Cadet Cranford, did you abandon your post yesterday? My dad said, yes, sir. And he said, where were you? He said, I was sleeping. And he says the man started cursing and yelling at him. And then he calmed down and he said, we had trucks coming in and they didn't have help unloading. He said, and I just want you to know that if you'd lied to me about this, I was busting you out of my unit. He said, but because you told the truth, he said, just don't let it happen again. That was my dad's story, my takeaway on the story in my life. Speak the truth, and you'll never have to face the consequences of lying, only of your mistakes. That's the lesson. Make the truth the first thing that comes from your lips, no matter what. The Lord honors the truth, whatever it costs you. That's the message of Scripture. The Lord turns his face to those people who make mistakes but tell the truth about it. He delights in it. When it hurts you, your honesty, accepting consequences, because what is at stake is your soul, and you know that. And telling the truth brings his blessings to your life. Third way that we use our words that cause us to self-destruct is perverted words. Perverted words hurt our souls and draw us under the world's control. Now, explicit sexual talk is all over our culture. It's just part of popular culture nowadays. People use it all the time. Celebrities use it. People being interviewed will use it. We have to bleep a lot of people, but if you're watching, you know, cable TV, people can say anything they want. There was a time when only people in the margins of our society spoke that way. It was very rare and shocking to people to hear certain kinds of profanity, but now it's just part of culture. It's part of the music that young people listen to. It's just lyrics in the music, horrible words, television programs. If you surround yourself with it, you're going to find yourself speaking that way. There's just something about it. It's habit forming. It sticks in your mind. And if you hang out with people, I talked about this a few weeks ago. If you hang out with people that talk that way, you're going to find yourself talking that way. It's habit forming. And if you've spoken this way, even before becoming a Christian, you might find that these words just come out of you sometimes. But God wants us to be free of this kind of talk. So here's what his wisdom says on this topic. Proverbs 15:4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 17:20. One whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse falls into trouble. Here's Proverbs 4, 23-24. I don't know if I got this one on there. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. So guard your heart, from everything you do flows from it. It sounds just like what Jesus is saying in Matthew 12. What we need to understand, the teaching of Scripture, is there's a motivating power behind our words. And when the world's perversity comes from our lips, we're under its control, under the world's control. The force in our lives, whatever it is that controls us, is revealed by what we say. So this is James in James chapter 3. This is what he writes. He says, take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Seems small, what you say. But the words of our lips matter because they show what controls our lives. That's what James is saying. The tongue seems like a small thing, but he calls it a rudder. You're the ship. The course of the ship is where you're headed in your life. If you want to know what direction you're pointed in, just look at where the rudder is headed. The rudder will tell you where you're going in life. And the rudder is how you speak. That's James's message. If we have garbage that's flowing from our lips, we're directly connected to the world. That's his message. Controlled by the world and not by the Lord. If garbage is coming out. So we have to ask ourselves, and this is the thing we should ask ourselves after reading James, what controls my life? I can't be on a course for the Lord and speak any way I want. That's what he's saying. You can pretend you're on course for the Lord, but you're not heading in the right direction if it's not coming out of your lips. So does that make sense? I mean, you know, sometimes we get in these times in life where we feel like we're just going in circles and we're just not making any headway. Gosh, I don't feel close to the Lord. And why isn't God revealing more blessings in my life? And why am I struggling so hard with so many things? And I feel like I'm not covering any ground. And it's because we're struggling with things like speech and we're not the people that we are supposed to be on the inside. What you say shows who you really are. That's what James is saying. Who we are on the inside. Like Jesus says in Matthew 12, what comes forth from our hearts is what's stored up inside of us. People's words come from a certain kind of heart. What are we storing up in our hearts? When it leaks out as lies or perverted talk, what's the course of my life? Well, where are you heading in your life? This is what the Lord wants us to think about. We need to quiet our tongues and let the Holy Spirit control our lives and fill our hearts with the things of the Lord. And then those things come out of our lips. You know David's prayer in Psalm 19? Do you know that prayer? May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's our prayer. May the words of my mouth and these meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord. That's our prayer. If we don't pray that prayer, we're the ship that never gets to the destination because the rudder's sending us in some way that we're not supposed to go. And Paul writes about spiritual maturity in Ephesians 4, and I feel like this passage goes right with what James is saying in Ephesians 4. He says about spiritual maturity, then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. See, that's the goal. Speak in love like He spoke in love and to become like Him in our lives in every respect. To have our hearts transformed and to have that come forth from our life. When we speak blessings, when our words express God's values, when we lift people up with our words, when we praise the Lord with our lips and tell the truth, we connect ourselves to Him and His face turns toward us. Him who is the head, we become like Him. We come under the control of the Spirit. We find our lives like this ship set on a course for eternity that He has for us, that glorifies Him, a life that glorifies Him and goes toward this destiny. And as we let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to Him, we change on the inside and we have His heart. And then our words change the lives of the people around us like His words did. That's the last part of wisdom about the tongue. What you say can bring healing to others if it comes from that heart. When we hold back empty words, stop our thoughts right in their tracks before they turn into words that can hurt ourselves or get us in trouble. We give ourselves a chance to say something that matters. And then our lives come under His control. Here's some verses about this. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Here's Proverbs 16. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It's a fruit of a life that's submitted to Jesus Christ. The words that we speak to lift people up, to restore them, to give them hope, to let them know that they're loved and they're valued, to give instruction, but constructively and gently to people. These are the words God wants from us in our lives, and they show a life on course for Him, controlled by Him. There was a lady that I hurt with my words about 30 years ago. And the Lord was, words and some things I did, it was a long time ago, but the Lord was doing some things in my life a number of years ago. And I just felt a burden that I had to get in touch with her and make sure that she understood how sorry I was for things that I'd said and done. And so I found her through Facebook and messaged her. And, you know, when you come to ask someone for forgiveness like that, you don't know how much pain they're carrying around, but I gave her the out to, you know, unload on me whatever she wanted to say, to let me know, you know, how much pain or frustration or hurt I've caused her from these years ago. And she could have really let me have it. And I was prepared to just accept anything I got from her. It was her big chance. And instead, she offered me grace. She told me the Lord had long since made everything right between us. And she didn't stop there. Then she wrote words of encouragement. She said, "I'm so proud of you. It takes a great deal of courage to embark on a journey of self-discovery. God has always blessed you and challenged you at a higher level. No one achieves anything without hardship. Well done, Mike." When we offer people grace through our words, we bring healing and lift them up. And we send them on a course to have victory in life. This is what the Lord wants for us. Words of love from our lives. A couple more verses. Psalm 37:30. "The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just." That's what the Lord wants for you. Psalm 35:28. This is David, Solomon's dad. "My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long." It's what we do here when we're here. And this is what he wants for you every day in your life. To set your life on a course that honors him through your words. To draw us near. To put his face toward us and bless our lives incredibly as we live for him. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life with my words. But he's drawing me to a life that glorifies him, full of his blessings. And the same for you. He wants that for you and for all of us. These incredible blessings that come from living a life of wisdom and speaking the truth in love. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for the grace that I've been shown by you and your powerful words, your words of eternal life, and for the people that you've put in my life who have spoken to me and encouraged me. Lord, I pray that you would change my heart and change all of our hearts here, Lord, that blessings come out of our lives, that praise comes from our lips, Jesus, and that we glorify you. If any of us, Lord, are struggling with harsh words or anger or profanity, Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would take control in our hearts and transform us, Lord. Help us to get hold of the words, Lord, and give you a chance to change us and make us more like you. Give us wisdom, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Can we thank Mike for speaking those words? That's amen.